Before we get started with today's message, I need to tell you just a little bit something about myself because it's going to give you some insight to how I arrived at today's message. You see, when I like to read a biography or an autobiography, I like to start at the beginning of the book and then skip all the way to the end to see what type of person this main character has become. Then I'll go back and read the whole book. And I try to pick out those pivotal points within a person's life, those events, those moments, those relationships, those seasons that people have within their life that shape the type of individual that they become. See, it's not very important to me how somebody starts their life and ends their life, which I like to call the bookends of somebody's life. It's more that story that lies between the bookends that really determines the people that we become. And today I'm taking that same practice and I'm applying it to the Apostle Peter's spiritual journey. And we're going to talk about two fishing trips that the Apostle Peter went on. And I know some of you are disappointed going, my friends are at the lake. I didn't come to church to listen about what they're doing at the lake. But we do need to look at these two fishing trips because they are the pivotal points of Peter's spiritual journey. And the first one that we find is in Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left here by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the net. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And I want you to look at Apostle Peter's response to this miraculous catch. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And we need to fast forward about 3 years later to see this second fishing trip that the Apostle Peter is on. And at this time, he's with the other disciples and they're fishing. And starting at verse 3, Peter says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we will go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you had any fish? No, they said. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped out his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the waters. The rest of the chapter tells us that Peter actually had to swim ashore about 100 yards to be able to be with Christ. There are so many similarities within this story. You know, both times we find Peter on a fishing trip that he fished all night and they did not catch anything. And both times, Jesus shows up in the morning and they experience a miraculous catch. See, it's pretty significant that Jesus showed up in the morning time. I grew up in South Central Virginia around Smith Mountain Lake. And people come from all over the country to striper bass fish there. And growing up in that area, I learned a little something about fishing. They fish mainly at nighttime because during the daytime, the surface water temperature rises. And so all the fish go down into the deep water. And at nighttime, when the surface waters begin to cool off, the fish come back up and it makes it easier for them to catch. And this is very significant for Peter because the only thing that he has is a net. And the only way that he can catch fish is when they're on the surface of the water. And that's only at nighttime. So Jesus asked Peter to do something completely illogical to a professional fisherman. And both times, Peter experiences something miraculous. Now that's the major similarity within this story. But it's really the difference in this story that it catches my attention. The difference in the story is the difference in Peter. See, something has happened to Peter in between these two fishing trips that changes how he responds to Christ. On the first fishing trip after the miraculous catch, Peter realizes that he is standing in the presence of the Messiah. And when he realizes this, his demeanor stiffens towards Christ. He actually falls before Christ and begs him to leave me, for I am a sinful man. And we all know what it feels like for somebody to stiffen their demeanor towards you. Have you ever tried to hug a teenage boy? I remember back when I was a teenager, my parents would try to come and hug me, and I would stiffen up. You know, when they come around me, giving off that body language, say, don't touch me, back off. But as a teenage boy, I really wanted their love and their acceptance. But with all the confusion and awkwardness that comes from moving a boy to a man, reflexively, I would stiffen up. In the midst of their confusion, I didn't know how to receive their love. And that's what we find with the Apostle Peter. With all the awkwardness that he feels at this moment, he stiffens. See, he really wants Jesus' love and acceptance, but he doesn't know how to receive it. See, the awkwardness is there because he realizes that he is in the presence of a holy God. And Peter is completely aware of his own ungodliness. So like a teenage boy, he reflexively changes his demeanor towards Christ. But we move on to that second miraculous catch. And we find Peter jumping out of the boat in the middle of the lake to swim ashore. Something's changed. And when I look on the surface, I think Peter has changed. Peter is not as simple as he once was. Peter must be now a godly man. And because he is a godly man, he is able to relax in the presence of Christ. But then I remind myself, we are just a few days removed from Peter denying that he even knew Christ at all. When Jesus needed Peter the most, Peter denied him. He not only denied him one time, but he denied him three times. Now, one time we can all kind of understand, you know, it's the fear of the moment, the confusion of what's happening, that he would deny Christ and he would come to his senses and rush to his Lord's aid. But he didn't. He denied him a second and third time. See, Peter's not jumping out of the boat because of his extreme faithfulness to Christ. He's jumping out of the boat after the pinnacle of his unfaithfulness to Christ. With the guilt of betrayal still on Peter's consciousness, he jumps out of the boat to be with Christ. That is just against human nature on my behalf. When I have an argument with somebody, I try to avoid them at least for a couple of days to let things die down. Now, if I actually betrayed somebody, I would avoid them like the plague. If I saw that person in Walmart, you would see me weaving in and out of aisles like a cheap private eye at that. Because just the presence of that person would remind me of the guilt of betrayal. If there was ever a point in Peter's life that it was time to stiffen towards Christ, now was the time. Now was the time to run and hide. Now was the time to fall on his knees towards Christ and say, "Depart from me, I am a wicked and sinful man." Now was the time for Peter to create a stiffened demeanor towards Christ. But on the contrary, we find Peter like a toddler running towards his parents after they have returned home from work. What has happened inside of Peter to make such a dramatic change in between these fishing trips? What is the story that lies between these two bookends that would create a change in a human that would be so dramatic? I want to know that story. I want to know that catalyst of change. I want to know because I want my stiffened demeanor towards God to disappear. I want God's love and acceptance to be such a reality within my life that I would willingly jump out of the boat to be with Jesus after I have betrayed my faith. And the only way for us to find out what happened within Peter's life is to look at that story between the bookend journeys of that fishing trip. The first thing I notice in Peter's life is that Peter was not expected to change overnight. Peter was given the permission and the freedom to explore his faith. Peter was allowed to explore faith. And that's different than what I thought growing up, because when somebody read this story to me in Sunday school on a silo, I always took it that Jesus showed up at the fishing trip, talked to Peter a little bit, he experienced a miraculous catch, and he just dropped everything that he had, and he went after and followed Christ. But that's not at all what the Bible teaches us. If we will look in chapter 4, just before chapter 5, before that miraculous fishing trip the first time, that we'll realize that Peter's first fishing experience was not his first experience with Christ. Peter was allowed to listen to Jesus teach in the temple, to heal people, and to even cast out demons. I want to take a little synopsis of chapter 4, starting at verse 38, says, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people. See, Peter was allowed to have many experiences with Christ on his opportunity to explore faith. He was able to go to the synagogue and listen to Jesus teach. He was even allowed to watch Jesus heal people. He was allowed to watch his mother-in-law become restored. Now, for some of us, that might have been a stumbling block to faith. But evidently, to Peter, it was all right. Y'all a little slow. Y'all caught that one, though, didn't you? Your mother-in-law sitting beside you. He was even able to watch Jesus cast out demons. and who was able to watch that and process that and able to explore his faith. But that's not the most interesting part of Peter's ability to explore his faith. The most interesting part to me is that Jesus pursued Peter at a place that Peter understood what Jesus was talking about. See, Jesus pursued Peter as a fisherman. Now, Peter understood the teachings and the miracles, but he understood fishing more. He understood that miraculous catch. And even when Jesus invited Peter to follow him, he called him as a fisherman. Come and I will make you a fisher of men. See, I think exploring Christ, I wish I would have known the pressure taken off of Christ around Peter, because I grew up in that kind of society of it's either time to turn or burn. There's no time for you to explore your faith. It becomes create such a pressure within your life. And I remember in my beginning of my spiritual journey within life that I needed that opportunity to explore my faith. In the beginning of my journey, I had all kinds of questions about God. I needed to know that God was real and relevant in my everyday life. I needed to know that God was still willing to help and heal hurting people. And I didn't have the opportunity to follow Jesus around, to listen to his teachings directly, and to watch him perform miracles. But I was given the opportunity to be a part of a local church. And it was within that local church that I was given the freedom to ask questions, to be able to explore my faith. And I found people that had the same questions that I had, and they were able to walk me along the way. I was able to talk to people who had hurts within their life and how God had healed and restored their life. But like Peter, I needed a point within my life that Jesus would come and speak to me at a point that I would understand. And that point for me was science. One of my greatest questions I had my spiritual journey was, did Jesus even actually exist? Where's the evidence? I didn't get to meet him. So I began to explore, where is the documentation within that? And what I found was pretty miraculous to me, that there is more evidence of Jesus' life and existence and what he did upon the earth is 10 times greater than the information that we have about Aristotle and Socrates. And to dismiss Christ, I would have to dismiss all the people from those times within history. But there was another part of science that God really spoke to me. See, I was spending about 2 years learning about the human body in physical therapy school. And actually, that scared me to death. Because the more that I learned about the human body, the more complex that it became, the more fragile it was. And I was taking all those courses about what could go wrong. I was constantly, and you can ask my wife, walking around checking my pulse to see if I was still ticking, because it was one of those things, something could go wrong at any minute, and some of us has experienced that. But as I began to look at the human body and realized how it could work in such a small standard deviation of things that could go wrong and not fall apart every 30 seconds, I thought, God, if you're that powerful and you have that much control to make things work, then you have enough power and control in my life to heal the hurts that I'm dealing with. And I could have that trust within you. See, Jesus allows us to explore our faith so much that he's willing to pursue you right where you are at in life and to be able to talk to you about what's happening within your life. And that's what Peter's life teaches us. That we are given the freedom and we're given the permission to explore our faith. Just like Peter, I still had questions. I still had fears. I still had doubts. And I still had awkwardness towards God. But in the middle of the law, Jesus was still allowing me to question him and to explore my faith. Peter's life shows us that we do not have to change overnight. We don't have to live with that type of pressure. And we do not have to enter into faith blindly. But when Jesus makes himself clear to us, he does expect us to make the next step along our spiritual journey. Up to this point, Peter was really a spectator of Christ. But when he stepped out of the boat, he became a participant. Another way of saying that is that Peter made a decision to be teachable. See, when Peter got out of the boat, he unleashed two very important spiritual components to everybody's spiritual journey. The first one that he unleashed in his life was Jesus' teachings. See, who was just not listening to Jesus' teachings on a Sunday morning going to synagogue? He listened to the teachings of Christ on a daily basis. And he was able to see the teachings of Christ lived out in front of him in such a way that he realized that the scriptures were relevant in his everyday life, to the point that Peter began to take those scriptures and apply it to his everyday life as well. After a time of exploration of faith, Cheryl and I moved to the Tri-Cities area. And we were still exploring faith a little bit, but we were kind of in some desperate times within our life. My marriage was in big trouble. Now, we were been only married for 3 months. You think, how much trouble can you get into in 3 months? But it was in trouble, to the point that we knew if we didn't get some help that it wasn't going to last to the year. How many of you know when your faith is in trouble, your relationships are in trouble as well? And so we tried it to fix some of the things on our own, and we decided we finally got to go see a counselor. We need help. And that counselor did something for me that changed my life dramatically. The counselor, when I went to him for help, he opened up the Bible, and he read scriptures to me about being a husband and about life. See, that gentleman showed me for the first time, or maybe I just realized that I was in such a desperate place in my life, that the Bible was given to me to help my life. Where I had viewed the Bible up until this point is just a rule book to follow. It was something to add pressure and not take it away. But when he read those scriptures to me within my life, it was the first time that I feel like that I had hope that my life was going to change for the better. See, he opened up that Bible and lived out the Bible in front of me in such a way that he made it relevant. I cannot remember a single activity that he gave us to improve our marriage relationship. But I can remember a man who had enough trust in the Bible that he knew that I could find the answers to my questions and I could have the hurts in my life healed. See, Peter gave us the example that the scriptures are there to help us, to relieve pressure, to give us hope and healing. The second thing that Peter released in his life when he stepped out of the boat, he learned that he was not called to walk this spiritual journey alone. He was called with 11 other people to walk along the spiritual journey, that other people are a catalyst to our faith as well. As Cheryl and I moved here 17 years ago, we do like everybody does when they're looking for a church. We went church hopping around to find a place that we fit. And we found this Methodist church, and it was small enough that when we went to church, we could not go unnoticed. And those people pursued us, and They saw the smiles that showed up on Sunday morning, but they couldn't see the pain that was inside the both of us. And they began to invite us to come to studies with them and really invited us to serve with them inside the church. And those serving opportunities created a connection point. And those connection points turned into relationships. And inside of those relationships, we found about five other families that we started living life together. And those relationships were a catalyst to my faith growth. Because I had questions within my own life that I could not answer for my own self. And those people helped me along the way. And those people invited me into their life. See, the greatest thing that they gave me was acceptance. They showed me that God accepts me exactly where I'm at. But He loves me enough to not leave me there forever. And that's a great part about living with people in faith. People of faith believe more in you than you do yourself. People of faith look into your life and they see gifts and talents that God has placed inside of you. And they absolutely believe that God's big enough to use those gifts and talents to change you and the world around you. See, Peter shows us that other people are a great catalyst to our faith. The third step along Peter's spiritual journey that I see is that Jesus pulled in the disciples and he said, I want you to go out two by two and I want you to go live out what I've taught you in front of your community. And when they did this, they would come back with some great success stories. They come back with stories about how the gospel is spread and how they healed people. But they also come back with some stories of great failure within their life. And it was in these times of failure that I believe that Peter learned that Jesus was the safe place to run to. If you look in Mark chapter 6 through 9, you'll see some of the failures. Jesus asked his disciples to feed 5,000, and they froze up. They were trying to cast out of a demon out of a young boy who was trying to kill the young boy. And Jesus had to bail him out. See, I believe it's these times of failure in life that Jesus was teaching Peter the most important attribute of Jesus that Peter needed to know. Jesus was teaching Peter about his unconditional love for Peter. See, he didn't fire Peter as being a disciple. He didn't become angry with Peter. He did not reject Peter. A matter of fact, he used those times as failures to teach Peter in a pivotal point in his life to depend upon God. Jesus was always pointing back his disciples to depend upon God in times of failure. Now, I've talked to you about what I've learned along my spiritual journey about my past. But this is where I'm at on my spiritual journey at present. That there's times in my life that I allow my sins and my failures to create a gap between God and myself. I become angry with myself, frustrated. I become dissatisfied with life, and then I disengage God. But in Peter's life, that's not what I find. In Peter's life, I see the polar opposite relationship. I see Peter running to Christ in the times of failure, not running from Christ. We all need an insight to a conversation that Jesus and Peter had with each other after Peter swam ashore. And this is where it picks up. John chapter 21, verse 15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus asked, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Three times within Peter's life, we find him denying Christ. And three times, we find Jesus affirming the call upon Peter's life. Jesus is looking straight into Peter and says, Peter, I saw your failure. I'm the one that told you that it was going to happen before it ever happened. But I'm still your Savior. You're still a part of my family. And I still have a call on your life. This is what I need to know the most. Because there's many days I just lay my head down a pillow and realize how I have failed as a father and a husband. And it makes me want to quit and disengage. But when I look at the experiences in Peter's life, and because of the experiences Peter had, Peter never looked at the magnitude of his sin. He looked at the greatness of his God. And when Peter was able to see the greatness of grace within his life, he was always willing to jump out of the boat into the deep waters and run towards Christ. That is the greatness of the sacrifice of Christ within our life. We're all going to experience failures within our life, and some of them are not going to be small. Some of them are going to be so great and such a moral fall within our life, it is going to hurt us and hurt other people. And Christ understands those hurts within our life. And he spoke straight into Peter's life about his failure. And he spoke to those hurts. And it said Peter even felt the pain because Christ brought it back to his attention. But Christ also brought back to his attention again, go feed my sheep. Your life is not over. Your journey is beginning again. When you fail within your life, those are the opportunities in life that we learn that God is dependable and his love is unconditional. That's what Peter teaches us about our life. I wish I knew that. In the core of my being, that when I failed, that I would jump out of the boat and swim ashore to run to Christ. Because if I would do that every time, I would find a Savior who's ready to affirm me, to love me unconditional, and remind me of the call that I have on my life. Mike Wells used to teach before he passed away. He said, you either can focus on your sin or you can focus on Christ. But you can't focus on both. If you focus on your sin, you're going to cover up Christ in your life. But if you focus on Christ, your sin is completely covered. Because the Savior that Peter found on the shore was a Savior who went through the cross, come through the tomb to remove your sin away from your life, your past and your present and your future. Christ is a God that's big enough to wash all away your failures and your sins and to take the pressure off of your life to live in perfection. He shows us that he lived the perfect life so that he could show his unconditional love. So if you're exploring your faith, you absolutely have the freedom to explore your faith because Jesus is going to meet you right in the middle of exploring it. When you step out of that boat and decide to be a participant, Jesus is going to have people, and he's going to have people there to help you to learn the scriptures and to grow. And when you fail, he is always going to be there to affirm you, to love you, and remind you that he has a purpose for your life that never changes. And I hope that I learned that. And I hope as a church that we are completely aware of that. Because we go out into the world every day and around people who need to hear it. Just like we need to hear it when we fall short. Let's pray for them and let's pray for us. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, the God who does not create pressure, you created grace on our life. You were there to allow us the freedom and permission to explore you, to meet you where we're at in life. You surround us with people who will love us and encourage us along the way. And when we fail, you are there to redeem us, to pick us back up, and keep us going until you finally come and get us for the last time. Then we can let go of all the sin that we harbor within our life. Lord, make us an instrument to show other people about your unconditional love. And may we receive it completely and fully within our life so that we can walk in the freedom and we'd be willing to jump out of a boat to meet with you. In Christ's name I pray, amen.